about Lord Ramchandra. How's that sound?
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we'll start with the first verse. We're going to be going through verse by verse. We won't just stick to one verse today, but we'll continue reading, and I'll be commenting on Lord Rama's pastimes as we go through. So the first verse in the canto, 10th chapter, is, and I'll just read it, of course, and maybe tomorrow we can actually do some of these verses responsibly. So, Sri Shuku Vacha Katvanga Dirgabahuscha Ragustasmat Ritu Shavaha Ajastato Maharajas Tasmat Dasharato Vavat. Actually, we'll do the word translations on the first verse that we read. Sri Shukuvacha. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Akatvangat. From Maharaj Katvanga. Dirgabahu. The son named Dirgabahu. Cha and Raghu Tasmat. From him Raghu was born. Apritushavaha. Saintly and celebrated. Ajaha. The son named Aja. Tataha. From him Maharaja. The great king called Maharaja Dasharatha. Tasmat. From Aja. Dasharataha. By the name Dasharatha. Abhavat. Was born. So translation. Shukadev Goswami said the son of Maharaja Katvanga was Dirgha Bahu, and his son was the celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Aja. And from Aja was born the great personality, Maharaj Dasaratha. So we can speak about this, even though there's no purport to this text. So, Om Ganan Timuranda Shah, Ganan Jana Shalakaya Chakshur, and Meditam Genetas Mai Shigurave Namaha. So here we find, describe the family dynasty in which Lord Ramchandra appeared. Actually, if you go back even further, who is the head of the whole dynasty in which Lord Ramchandra appeared? The Suryavamsa. But who is the head? What's the name? What? Ikshvan? Vivaswan. Right? Who is Vivaswan? Vivaswan is the sun god. And Krishna describes this dynasty to a certain extent in the Gita, right? What does he say? Does anyone know that verse? Imam Vivaswate Yogam Poktavan Aham Avyam Vivaswan Manave Praha Manur Ikshvakave Bravet. Nobody remembers that verse? Oh my God. Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago in the Battle of Kurukshetra. So maybe we should have Bhagavad Gita class. So anyway, so Krishna says, I spoke this Bhagavad Gita in the beginning to Vivaswan, Imam Vivaswate Yogam, Proktamanaham Aviyam. And then he spoke it to Aviyam, Manu, and Manu spoke it to Ikshvaku. And this way the science was passed down through the chain of disciplic succession. That's Imam Vivaswate Yogam, Proktamanaham Aviyam. Vivaswan Manave Praha, Manur Ikshvakave Bravet. If I was intelligent, I would tell you all to remember this verse by tomorrow, but I'm not going to do that because I know you won't do it. So, the point is that this is a disciplic succession where Krishna originally taught Vivaswan, and of course that Manu is the Vivasvata Manu. There's different Manus in the Manu cycles, and there's the original Manu. Who was the first Manu in all the Manu cycles in this day of Lord Brahma? Does anyone know? His name starts with an S. What? Say it louder. Swayambhuva. Swayambhuva. You got to, in Sanskrit, you got to pronounce the last A. We're not Hindi speakers in Sanskrit. Swayambhuva. Instead of Swayambhuva. Swayambhuva. So when you're doing Sanskrit. So Swayambhuva Manu. So the reason I'm talking about this dynasty and the reason it's mentioned here is that the dynasty is very important. Why is it important? First of all, because the Lord appears in either the Suryavamsa, right, or the Somavamsa. What is the Somavamsa? Moon dynasty. So Krishna appeared in which dynasty? The Somavamsa, the moon dynasty, and Lord Ramachandra appeared in the sun dynasty. Now, we're going to describe a proof that Lord Ramachandra's pastimes are eternal. They're called Nitya Lila. Because the pastimes of the Lord are not like our activities in this world that appear now and no one will ever hear about them again. Just like right now, there's a sumuk here. But it's not that it's eternal. That in the next, what, day of Lord Brahma, sumuk will again appear and enact the same pastimes. Thank God, no. That will not happen. Because these pastimes are anicca in this material. The activities in this material world are anicca. So nitya lila means that the pastimes keep occurring over and over again. So like Lord Ramchandra's pastimes, they occurred millions of years ago, but then they're occurring in some other universe right now. And then they will occur in this universe again in once in a day of Lord Brahma. They appear in the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. So they're always occurring. And in the spiritual world, Lord Ram has his own planet. And those who were dedicated to Lord Ram, they go back to his planet. And by reciting the pastimes of Lord Ram, we can experience the presence of Lord Ram. That's the non-different nature of the name and the nami, the name and the person who is being named. You understand? Nama Chintamani, Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vira. Just like they sometimes say at funerals here, what do they say? Rab Nam Satchahe. But that shouldn't be reserved just for funerals. That's the only time they chant that, Rab Nam Satchahe. But Rab Nam should be chanted all the time. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. One should always be chanting Rab Nam. So, anyway. So the pastimes are eternal, and one proof of that, we're going to give a proof that Lord Ram's pastimes are eternal, is that way before, millions of years before Lord Ram appeared, you had this sun god's dynasty, Vivaswan. Vivaswan was worshipping deities of Sita and Ram. This is millions of years before Sita and Ram appeared. He had deities of Sita and Ram. I don't know if he had Hanuman, but at least he had Sita and Ram. So he was worshipping deities of Sita. Can you imagine that? Millions of years before Ram appeared. And Vivaswan, he gave those deities to his son. Who is his son? I just mentioned before. No. Manu. Listen carefully. Manu. And Manu gave it to his son, Ikshvaku. And thus, the deities were passed down through the chain of disciplic succession. And Dasarath, even before Lord Ram was born, was worshipping Sita and Ram deities. Interesting. Can you imagine a father is worshipping deities of his son and his son's wife before the son appears? That's pretty good. I mean, normally the children are considered like the deities of the parents, right? But not before they're born. So those deities were given to Lord Ramchandra. It's interesting. And Lord Ramchandra was given deities of himself. And what did Lord Ramchandra do with them? Does anyone know? No, no one knows. He put them in a closet. Because Lord Ramchandra is not going to worship himself. He's a very humble personality of Godhead. Very, very humble. And so he put them in a closet. Now he was thinking, I'm not going to worship these deities. That's too much pride. Can you imagine? You wake up in the morning, there's deities of yourself, and you offer arti to yourself. Krishna, however, when he woke up in the morning, meditated on himself. So that's a little bit different. And Lord Chaitanya worshipped the Vishnu Murti. So Lord Chaitanya worshipped him. And so it's really interesting. Like, it's described that Sachi Mata, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother, and Jagannath Mishra, they had the deities of the Hoksaja Vishnu. And they were worshipping them in Lord Chaitanya's house. And those deities were later found when they were excavating the place where Lord Chaitanya appeared, the yoga pit. And those deities are there today. You can see those deities that Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra were worshipping. So Lord Ramchandra put the deities in the closet, but there came a point where he had to take the deities out, and I'll describe that story. That once upon a time there was a Brahmin who loved Lord Ramchandra, and he took a vow. This is when Lord Ramchandra returned to Ayodhya after killing Ravana. So this Brahmin took a vow that he would not eat until he paid his obeisances and saw Lord Ramchandra every day. But that became a little problematic because Lord Ramchandra sometimes would go out to the forest as a kshatriya, you know, to practice his martial arts. That is, you know, the shooting of the arrows and everything like that. So sometimes he was gone for several days. So this poor Brahmin was becoming thinner and thinner and thinner. In fact, eventually he just looked like bones. And Lord Ramchandra saw that and he said, "Why are you looking like this?" Because the king is responsible for the welfare of all the citizens. So if a citizen is too thin or a citizen is sick, it's the king's fault. And the king has to make an adjustment. Can you imagine if we did that today? Like the king or the prime minister or the president had to be responsible for everyone's health in the kingdom. Like if you were too thin, because no one here in Fiji is too thin. That's not a problem. It's the opposite problem. Isn't it? Diabetes and everything. So Lord Ramchandra said to the Brahmin, "My dear Brahmin, what's the problem?" The Brahmin explained that I can't eat until I see you every day. And Lord Ramchandra, what did he do? Does anyone know what he did? He took the deities out of his closet and he gave the deities to the Brahmin. And so the Brahmana then could eat and he became fatty, a little more fatty than he was before. And so those deities were worshipped by the Brahmin. So then, what happened with the deities? The question is, where are the deities now? And I'll explain that too. So the Brahmin worshipped those deities, and eventually, when he got ready to leave this world, he gave those deities to Hanuman. And Hanuman had the deities, and he was worshipping Sita and Ram. And then, you know who those deities were given to after that? Not Vibhishan, no. Anyone else can make a good guess? No, Lakshman left before Lord Ramchandra did. Anyway, we can tell that story how Lakshman was banned by Lord Ramchandra and he left this world before Lord Ramchandra did. But that's later on in the Ramayana. We're jumping ahead of ourselves. So what happened is that those deities were given to Shripad Madhvacharya. So there's three brothers of the wind god, Vayuputras. Who are the three brothers of the wind god? Anyone know? No. Bhimsen. Hanuman. And who? And yeah, I just mentioned his name, Shripad Madhvacharya. It's described that Shripad Madhvacharya, he could jump just like Hanuman. He was able to jump up to the higher regions of the mountains in the Himalayas and see Shiva Vyasadeva. He was able to wrestle with tigers in India. In India, they have these big tigers. They're called Bengali tigers. There's even a rugby team called the Bengali Tigers in India. But anyway, so these tigers, they're actually, how can I describe? They're about four times as big as I am. I mean, they're like as big as cows, practically. And so when they attack you, you're finished. You're prasadam at that point. So this Shripad Madhvacharya, being a Vayuputra like Hanuman, was able to just pull him away, because this tiger had attacked one of Madhvacharya's disciples, Satyatirtha. He pulled him away, and he just like took the tiger. The tiger ran away like a little cat would run away. So that's Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya got the deities of Sita and Ram. And does anyone know where those deities are today? Anybody know? Fantastic. In a place called Udupi. Udupi is in a state of Kerala in India. And that's Madhvacharya's place. Also, Madhvacharya discovered this deity of Gopal. He was bathing in the ocean one time. And he picked up this deity, and the deity was so heavy that only he could carry it, and that was the Gopal deity. So if you go to Udupi now, you can actually see the same deities of Sita and Ram, and I don't know if they have Lakshman and Hanuman now, but at least Sita and Ram, that were worshipped by Hanuman, that were worshipped by Vivaswan, the Vivaswatumanu, Ikshvaku, and were worshipped by that Brahmin and Madhvacharya. That's a nice story. So the reason I'm telling the story is that it proves the point that the pastimes of the Lord are eternal. Because they were known about before the Lord appeared. And so they continue appearing time after time after time. And if one becomes a pure devotee of Lord Ram, then you take birth in your next life. Before you go back to the spiritual world, you take birth in the place where Lord Ram's pastimes are taking place. Like, some devotees are dedicated to different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some devotees are dedicated to Krishna and Vrindavan, plain and flute. Other devotees are dedicated to Lord Narsingadev. Other devotees are dedicated to Lord Ram or other incarnations of the Lord. When you travel around India, you'll see that different places have different dedications or dedicated to different forms of the Lord. Like in Andhra Pradesh, for example, generally they're dedicated to Nrsingha Bhagavan. Nrsingha Bhagavan, you remember? Lord Narsingadev? Narsingadev? That they have this place called Mangalgiri. In Mangalgiri, they have the self-manifested deity of Lord Narsingadev. How do you say this? He's from the mountain. He came from the mountain. That Giri means mountain, of course. Mangalgiri means the auspicious mountain. Same word in Hindi? Mangalgiri. So, just like we have Giriraj, that's Govardhan Hill. He's the king of the mountains. So you have this deity, he appeared, he's actually coming from the mountain, and the devotees pour sweet water, sugarcane juice, into his mouth. And he drinks half of whatever you pour in his mouth. You remember this? You went there. You don't remember. He drinks half and he leaves over half, and the devotees drink the remnants. And then there's another place called Singhachalam where there's a deity of Varaha and Nrsingha combined. Do you remember that? No, Singhachalam. Do you remember that, Rupanuga? Singhachalam means... it's Singha, the lion. So what I'm saying is that there's different worshipable deities in different places in India. And generally, let's say in the state of Bihar, they're worshipping Lord Rama. In UP, they're worshipping Krishna. And in Dwarka, who are they worshipping? Dwarkadish. That's easy, isn't it? So in Dwarka, they're very proud of Dwarkadish. In Gujarat, they're very proud of Dwarkadish, right? They said, oh, Dwarkadish. And in UP. So in other words, India is so nice. Because in each and every place, they're worshipping different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not the same thing in Fiji, is it? Like when you go to sing a toka, of course, Hare Krishna's worship Krishna, but I mean, otherwise, you know, there's nothing religious significance about the whole thing. So India is the land of religion. And Prabhupada said there's deities, predominating deities everywhere. And in fact, in Andhra Pradesh, in addition to worshipping Lord Nrsimhadev, they have big deities of Hanuman. And some of them are like 30 meters high. Can you imagine a Hanuman? Oh, much bigger, much taller than this building is. And he's standing at the entrance of the village greeting everybody. It's wonderful. You seen that?
Yes.
Rupanuga, you seen? So India is the land of religion because everything is based on the Lord's pastimes. And there's different villages that are named after the Lord and people's names. People have names that are based on names of the Lord, right? So practically most of the original names in India, of course now a lot of the names are coming from Arabic rather than from Sanskrit, but most of the original names are actually names of the Lord. So anyway, the pastimes are eternal. So going on with this particular verse, it's described that there was Maharaj Katvanga. Maharaj Katvanga, does anyone remember what Maharaj Katvanga did? What is he famous for? Fighting for who?
Demigods.
And what happened after he fought for the demigods? They said, we'll give you a benediction. And what benediction did he want? When am I going to die? Can you imagine asking for that benediction? You know, the demigods came to me and said they were going to give me a benediction. And I'd say, make all my disciples submissive. That's probably the one I'd ask for. So, make them all strict in Sodom and everything. So in this case, he asked, when am I going to die? And that's an interesting question because it helps you prepare for the moment of death, because if you, at the moment of death, you remember Krishna, you go back to Krishna. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam yajatiyanti kalevam. So he asked them, and they said, you've got a few seconds left. A moment. And he immediately came down to the earth planet, took shelter of Krishna, went back to Godhead. So this is part of the dynasty in which Lord Ram appeared. And so the other personalities I mentioned here, of course, another personality is named Raghu. And that's why Lord Ramchandra appears in the Raghu Vamsa. That's another name of the family in which Lord Ramchandra appeared. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, isn't it? Think about it. Because people ask, why do we chant Raghupati? Because Raghava, or Raghu, was his great-grandfather. And then from there came Aja, which means unborn. And then Maharaj Dasaratha came. And why was Maharaj Dasaratha called Maharaj Dasaratha? Nobody knows. He had 10 chariots. No, he fought for the demigods. He had more than 10 chariots. But he fought for the... That's a good guess, though. Very good guess. He fought for the demigods in such a way that he fought like someone who had 10 chariots. Like he would fight in 10 directions at one time. So that's why he was called Dasaratha. All the names that people got were actually very applicable. And one time he was fighting with the demons, and they knocked him unconscious. And what happened? Who saved him? Kaikeyi. Not Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi saved him. And Kaikeyi... It shows, actually, that the women were actually... The Kshatriya women weren't just like little... sweet little things. They actually knew how to drive chariots, right? And so she drove the chariot off the battlefield and saved him. She knew how to drive a chariot and save him. And therefore he said, you know, later on, you know, whatever benedictions you want, we'll give you. And that's part of what caused problems. And even in Krishna's pastimes, we find when Krishna kidnapped Rukmini, who drove the chariot? Rukmini drove the chariot. And when Arjuna kidnapped Subhadra, who drove the chariot? Subhadra. So the Kshatriya ladies, they were Kshatriya ladies. You understand? So sometimes people say the ladies have no varna, but the ladies also have a varna. So this proves that point. So anyway, so that's the story of Maharaj Dasarath, and we'll go on to the next verse. See, there's a lot to explain on each verse. Okay, the next verse, and I'll just read the Sanskrit, and then we'll go on to the, we won't do the word-by-word synonyms, we'll do the translation. So that's number 2 in the 10th canto, and of course these translations and commentaries are by Srila Prabhupada. Tashapi bhagavan hesha sakshad brahma mayo harihi amsha sena chatur dagat putratvam prartita surahai rama lakshmana bharata shatrugna hiti sangeha. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in 4 forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasarath. And so we'll read Srila Prabhupada's purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Ramchandra and his brothers, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna, are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadam, Anantarupam. That's from the Brahma Samhita, 5th chapter, text 33. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, in the 39th verse, Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan. The Lord is situated in many forms such as Ram, Lakshman, Bharata, and Shatrughna. And these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All of these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead, and they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, who being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful. And they became the sons of Maharaj Dasaratha in response to the prayers by the demigods. So a little philosophy here that whenever the Lord appears, His expansions appear with Him. Of course, Krishna is the original. Krishna is the original personality of God. This is Bhagavatam's opinion, not my opinion. And the other expansions come from Him. The first expansion from Krishna is who? No, Balaram. But that's another name for Balaram, so you're right. So Balaram, and then Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And Pradyumna and Aniruddha, in Krishna's pastimes, appeared in Dwarka as Krishna's son and grandson, right? Who was Pradyumna? Here's another question. Who is Pradyumna's mother? That's easy. Rukmini. Huh? I'm not going to ask a very difficult one. Who is Aniruddha's father? Pradyumna. And here's a very difficult one. Who is Aniruddha's son? Brajanabha. Brajanabha was the one who came to Vrindavan with Krishna's wives. He's a great grandson of Krishna. And he came with Krishna's wives and basically established many of the deities in Vrindavan. He established the holy places where Krishna performed his pastimes and the deities. And when he came with all the Krishna's wives, the ones that were still on the planet, he had a kirtan and Krishna appeared before him, and so did Uddhava and Krishna's associates, and they danced during the kirtan. And that happened right near Govardhan. Does anyone remember that? I told that story when we were at Govardhan. So that's the family. So anyway, so Krishna, that's Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. So Krishna is the original Vasudev. Does anyone know what the word Vasudev means?
Like,
What? Yeah, that's true. Vasudev means the son of Vasudev. That's true. Actually, that's very true. And also means the Lord who is all-pervading. The Lord who is everything and all-pervading. So therefore we say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Krishna's father's name is Vasudev. Vasudev, Vasudev. That's very good. So when Krishna was present, those four manifestations were there. And even when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, there was Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram was who in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes?
Nityananda.
And Aniruddha was who? No. Aniruddha was the Keshava Pandit, who danced for 72 hours for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if I had two devotees like you, I'd be able to fly in the air. So, and then there was also Prajuna Brahmachari. Anyway, so this is Lord Chaitanya's pastime. So whenever the Lord appears, these quadruple expansions appear with him, and they all serve him. That's another very important point, that all of Krishna's expansions, who are the same as Krishna, they're not different persons. They're not different persons. It's Krishna or Vasudev in different moods or different, manifestations of the same person. Just like all of us, we manifest ourselves differently in different places. When you're at work, you have a little bit different personality than you do when you're in the temple. Obviously, because when you're in the temple, you're going Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And when you're at work, you can't go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You have to go, yes, boss. Right? And even you refer to your boss by his legal name at work. Yes, Hasmukh, or something like that. And then in the temple, you refer to him as Parashuram, right? So that's natural. So, therefore, all of Krishna's expansions are the same person, but Krishna can arrange that he can appear in different, manifest in different aspects of the same personality simultaneously. Whereas we can't do that. Like, if you're at work, you can't be also at home at the same time. Can you? Many people wish they could do that. Be home and just send a body to work. So you get paid and you can remain home watching Bollywood films all the time. But so Krishna can be in millions of infinite number of places simultaneously, just like the Paramatma who's within every atom. That's Krishna, the same personality, and he's in every atom, and still he's the same one person. So we have all these different manifestations, and each of these expansions of the Lord, they serve the Lord. Like Balaram serves the Lord by being the Lord's Brahman thread, the Lord's sitting place. The temple itself is considered to be an expansion of Sankarshan. So even this temple, that's why we chant every morning about the spiritual master, Mandira Marjanado. He's cleansing the temple, isn't it? Shingara Mandira Marjanado, right? That the spiritual master engaged in deity worship, and he's cleansing the temple along with his disciples. Because why do we clean the temple? Because the temple is Balaram. And Prabhupada said cleaning the temple is the same as worshipping the deities. Cleaning or painting the temple is the same as the Shringara, the worship of the deities. So these expansions. So when Lord Ram appeared, his expansions were his servants. And we find that Lakshmana was completely inseparable from Lord Ramchandra. I mean, he remained always at Lord Ramchandra's side. And even when they went to the forest, he was such a good servant that he didn't eat the whole time they were in the forest, because Lord Ramchandra didn't tell him to eat. Can you imagine being such a good servant? Actually, the brahmachari is supposed to be trained like that when he first comes in the ashram of the spiritual master, that if the spiritual master doesn't call him to eat, he's supposed to fast. Of course, we don't do that because people are not that surrendered. But that Prabhupada said that's the proper brahmachari training. So Lakshman, Lord Ram didn't tell him to eat specifically. So at the end of the whole pastime, the Ramayan pastime, Lord Ram said, you know, why didn't you eat the whole time? And Lakshman said, because you never told me to eat. And Lord Ram said, I'm so pleased with your devotion to me that ask for a benediction. And the benediction Lakshman asked for was that he would never have to appear as Lord Ram's younger brother anymore. Because he didn't want to be Lord Ram's younger brother, because Lord Ram was ordering him to do all these things, especially with Sita Devi, you know, putting Sita Devi in the fire, and or sending her off into the forest when she was pregnant. You know, he was crying more than Sita Devi was. When he dropped Sita Devi off in the forest near the ashram of Valmiki Muni, he just dropped to the floor and started crying. He couldn't see, there were so many tears coming from his eyes. So he said, please, next life, I'll be your elder brother. And so in the next appearance, he appeared as Balaram, who was the elder brother of Krishna. However, Krishna never listened to his elder brother. Krishna didn't follow the etiquette properly. He violated that. And so when Balaram wanted something, Krishna became very tricky and did the opposite. Like when Balaram wanted to marry their sister, Subhadra, to Duryodhan, because Duryodhan was the basically disciple of Balaram, a martial arts disciple. And so Balaram really liked him a lot, and Duryodhan actually asked Balaram, his guru, he said, you know, I'd like to marry your sister. The reason he wanted to marry Subhadra was to create political conflict within Krishna's family. He didn't really want to marry her, but sometimes the kings would marry people for political reasons. Like if you wanted to make an alliance between two kingdoms, you would have your son marry the princess of that kingdom. So Duryodhana was thinking the same way, that, you know, I'll marry Subhadra, and therefore Krishna is not going to fight against me. But Krishna had a different plan. Arjuna came, he was visiting. Actually, Arjuna was at that point in exile because he had intruded upon Yudhisthira with Draupadi. So he came, and he was dressed as a sannyasi. The story is there in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna had this whole plan that Arjuna could sneak into the house and associate with Subhadra, because nobody would suspect, you know, sannyasi comes, sannyasi's not going to get romantic. It's not like in Kali Yuga, you have romantic sannyasis or something. So Arjuna came into the house, and Balaram invited him for dinner. One night we were sitting at the dinner table, and there was Arjuna and Subhadra, and of course Krishna and Balaram. And Arjuna was making eyes at Subhadra. You know what making eyes means? Nowadays, of course, they text. You understand? Texting. I love you. I love you too. I love you. I love you too. What are you doing now? I'm here talking to you. Like that. You know, hundreds and millions of texts. And Vodafone is making so much money based on romance. So in those days, they just made eyes at each other. I don't know how they do it. It's Gama Sannyasi. We'll have to ask some of you about these things. So Arjuna was making eyes at Subhadra, and basically, he kidnapped Subhadra. And Krishna had told him to do it, to disobey Balaram, his brother. This is against Vedic etiquette. So then Balaram got so angry, he called for the soldiers of the Yadav dynasty, and he said, we got to kill this guy. And then Krishna was there smiling. He said, why are you smiling? He said to Krishna. And Krishna said, well, it's a good idea he kidnapped Subhadra. It's actually very nice. And Balaram knew at that point it was Krishna's plan. He just threw down his club. He said, that Krishna, he did it again. So you'll see within the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram, the Vrindavan pastimes and the Dwarka pastimes and Mathura pastimes, that Krishna actually is the leader and Balaram is the follower, even though Balaram is the older brother. So anyway, so that was Lakshman's request. And then, apart from Lakshman, of course, we had Bharata and Shatrughna. And Bharata was renowned for his devotion to Lord Ram, because when he was offered the kingdom by his mother Kaikeyi, what did he do? Does anyone know? What did Bart do when he was offered the kingdom? No, but what did he do specifically? He went to the forest to find Lord Ram. Don't any of you know the Ramayana? He went to the forest to find Lord Ram, to bring Lord Ram back. And Lord Ram refused to come back. And basically, Bharata eventually had to take the shoes of Lord Ram, and he worshipped the shoes as the king. Bharata didn't even enter into Ayodhya again. Did you know that? He didn't enter into Ayodhya. He stayed outside the city, lived underground. He dug a little ditch, and he lived in that ditch because he didn't want to sleep in a higher position than Lord Ram. Because Lord Ram was sleeping on the ground. You understand? So Bart was thinking, I don't want to be superior to Lord Ram. So, and then he also became like a dweller of the forest, a vanaprastha. And he also matted his hair at that time like Lord Ram did. You know what matted hair? He would take the sap of the trees and rub it in his hair. And that's how the sages lived in the forest. And he just ate roots and dried and raw food like Lord Ram was eating. So in this way, he was so devoted to Lord Ram that he would not accept more facility than Lord Ram, and he refused to accept the kingdom. So you see the great devotion, and of course Shatrughna, the same thing. Shatrughna was also very devoted to Bart, and so they were another pair. There were two pairs of Shatrughna and Bart and Ram and Lakshman. So you see the Lord's expansions and incarnations, they like to serve him. So what to speak of us as devotees? We should be devoted to the Lord. So I think that's all we have time for today. So that's the beginning of the discussion of the Ramayana. As you see, there's many, many details in the Ramayana. The devotees should learn them very nicely. And the Ramayana we're referring to is the Valmiki Ramayana, which is the original Ramayana. And in the next day or two, we'll tell the story of Valmiki, which is a very interesting story of how Valmiki became a great devotee. Yeah, whereas previously he was a robber and a dacoit and one of the lowest people that you can imagine. So that maybe we'll tell that. I don't know if that's tomorrow. No, maybe it's the next day. Okay, so we're leading up to Lord Ram's appearance. Mm-hmm. Any questions or comments about any of the things I said in class about Ram, Lakshman, or Dasarath, or Vivaswan? We talked about a lot today. No questions? No. No questions at all. It's so silent. Everyone's so silent here. If this were any other country, people would be raising their hands and asking. Even in India, they ask more questions than this. I mean, I remember giving class when I was in Delhi, and people were, and that's UP, Uttar Pradesh. And people were asking questions all over the place. No one's asking questions. Tadvini pratipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Isn't it? Just try to learn the truth by asking questions. That's what Bhagavad Gita says. It's not my opinion. Inquiring submissively, but asking questions. Because I don't even know if you're awake if you don't ask questions. Right? Devotees sometimes learn how to sleep with their eyes open. In the beginning days of the movement, just one funny thing. The devotees, because they got very little sleep, would fall asleep during Bhagavatam classes on a regular basis. And in order to stay awake, some of them would stand in the back of the temple room. And sometimes they were so sleepy, they would fall over while they were standing. So we'd be giving Bhagavatam class, and all of a sudden in the back of the room we hear a crash. And someone would fall down on the chairs or something like that. Like that. Because they had fallen asleep. Okay. I guess that's it. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Lord Ramchandra Ki Jai, Lakshman Ki Jai, Sita Ki Jai, Hanuman Ki Jai, Varsh Ki Jai.